When does youth ministry ever stop? Well, that's a question we answer in this week's episode on the podcast. Hi, everyone. I am your host, Eric Jean-Baptiste, for Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101, where we are on a journey together on how we can encourage, engage, and enlighten our youth and young adults better by having conversations with each other, especially with those who are experts in this field. We just want to remind you that you can reach me on Instagram at youth_mentor101, and I would love to hear from you if you have any feedback or suggestions on who we should interview for this podcast. So I'm not going to lie or ignore what's happening in the world right now. We have been honest about COVID and how it's led to social distancing, and in some future episodes you're going to hear about that. But I just wanted to also address how there is such racial tension right now in the United States. Not too long ago, George Floyd was murdered in Minnesota, and it has led to protests, rioting, and a lot of people asking questions about what's going to happen next. Is it going to get worse, or is it going to finally get better, especially for African American people in this country? I have been intentional in talking with people from around the world and of diverse cultures and backgrounds to show that we can learn from one another, and that we, especially Christian people, all have the same goal, and that is to be in heaven. So when we see evil like this, or I'll be more specific, when I see evil like this for so clearly and so plainly, it is heartbreaking. And it's interesting that this week we're going to be talking to an African American leader in youth ministry, in Roger Wade. He is someone I look up to in youth ministry, someone who I've seen do many things for youth and young adults. And it was very interesting to hear what he has to say as a youth minister. This episode was recorded a while ago, so we do not address the issues that have happened recently. But if you check Pastor Roger Wade on his Facebook and what he's doing for Mid-America Union, you'll see that he is addressing this issue now, and he's having the conversation with youth and young adults. So check out this episode so you can learn more about him and his ministry and how he sees if youth ministry ever stops, or does it always continue. So check out that episode after this ad. All right, everybody. We are here once again on Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I am blessed to have Pastor Roger Wade with us. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing well, doing well. I'm blessed to be here with you, Eric.
Awesome, awesome. So let's get right into it. Let's have you give us a bio about your ministry and what the journey was that led you to where you are now.
Wow. I'm not good at talking about myself, but I just want to give God praise for how he has gotten me to where I am. I am excited to be available to be used by him. So my journey simply was, I enjoyed Pathfinder Ministry when I was young at my home church, and they kind of lit the fire of leadership under me. And then I continued leading and participating in my Pathfinder Ministry. And then I got very involved in local church leadership for youth ministries. and one of my youth directors say, "Hey, you need to go to the ministry. You need to go in and study to be a preacher, a pastor." And I said, "Nah, that's not for me. That's too much. I don't do well speaking up front. I don't do well all that the pastor does." So I kind of ran from it. And when I made the decision to finally settle down and do what God asked me to do, it's been a wonderful experience knowing folks. You know, when I was going through school, they would say the question, "You're not a son of a preacher or the grandson of a preacher." So, you know, you didn't really expect anything. But so far, God has blessed. I've pastored a few churches. I've learned a lot from the churches that I've pastored. And then I had the opportunity of being the youth director in a couple of conferences. And that was another amazing story to learn about how God leads. And now he has settled me down to be the church ministries director for the Mid-America Union in the Midwest. And that has also opened up some great doors. My experience in the past and what I'm experiencing now has been a true blessing for what God is doing in my life.
Wow. What's really interesting is that when you talked about your journey, you said you had doubts in your speaking ability and your preaching ability when you are actually one of the most iconic voices in ministry today. I think if there was a nickname for you, they'd call you The Voice, because your voice is very recognizable and God iconic.
God is good. You know, I mean, and the funny thing about it is that came about because of being bullied at school, at elementary school. I made it a pact to really be careful in how I spoke my accent. I'm originally from the island of Trinidad, the twin island nation of Trinidad and Tobago. And we tend to sing song our dialogue, you know. So so there's a very melodic way we talk. And that brought me some ridicule among my new friends here in the United States. And so I made the decision, I am going to learn how to speak, how to articulate and slow down and speak. And it has turned out to be a blessing in all that God has done for me.
Wow, that's actually a very interesting story, especially something that I've experienced in my parents being immigrants as well. My mother went through the same thing, and she really practiced so she wouldn't have an accent. So yeah. It's interesting. And one of the first things I remember about you when I first heard you preach, I was like, "Man, this guy has an amazing voice." So it's praise cool to God. Say that. So going into the fact that you also stated that you have been a youth director for multiple conferences, I think that's pretty interesting. I would like to ask you, what have you learned being a youth director for, I would say, I think in your history, it's about at least three conferences you were a youth director for. What have you learned in that traveling?
I have to be honest with you, I'm still learning. each conference has been a new feel, a new opportunity. One of the key things that I'm learning, and I learned this actually in church. So what I actually learned in youth ministries as a youth director, I actually learned as a pastor in my local church. And so I try to I pray that all my youth directors, successful youth directors, come from successful church pastors, to be honest with you. So we ought not to do away with the experience in the local church. But I've learned that there are so many different people. There are so many different pulls, so many different expectations that a youth director goes under or is pulled under. And my time in a local church helped me to learn how to discern the voices and you know, kind of develop what I need to pay attention to. Some things you miss, there's no question about it, but there are many things you don't when you're listening to the Lord and he's directing you and you're able to connect with people where they are. I think that's the key thing that I've learned over the years. Connect with them where they are. Don't try to force them to be something they're not. You know, that's been the, if there was anything, if there's one thing I could say that I've learned over the years, youth ministries, is connect with them where they are. Not just the adults, not just the leaders, but also the kids.
Okay. So basically what I'm getting from you in that answer is that you, what you learned is to be receptive to what team and what demographic, what people you are serving, and basically connect with them and serve where they're at. Not so, so if you go to one conference that has a certain demographic, certain people, you're not going to just instill the same thing that you were having in your previous conferences. That
correct. But you will come to realize that people are people, you know. Everybody, especially when you're doing in youth ministries, everybody wants the best for their children. They want the best so that they can, their children can achieve. And so when you come in as a youth director, you know, you're not coming in to just deal with this group of kids or that group of kids. You're coming in to deal with people who love their children. And your success in ministry is how to partner with them to bring success to the joys that they're looking for. And then it aligns right with what Bible says, that God wants the best for his children. So it makes your job easier when you realize what you're there for.
Awesome. Now, going into what you are doing now at the Mid-America Union, you are the church ministries director. Could you elaborate on what that role entails?
Sure. There was a time when the church went through some structural changes. And so we had all the departments, youth department, the youth director, you had women's ministries, you had family ministries, you had all the areas that most folks are familiar with. Then the church went into a time when they said, well, let's group all the ministries together. They pretty much do the same things, meet the needs of people, training things. So they made a church ministry there. So the Mid-America Union, at the union level, they kept the title of church ministries director, but they identified six ministries that they wanted the church ministries director to focus on. One of them, and the one that I spend most of my time on, is youth ministries. So Adventurer, Pathfinders, youth, young adults, campus ministries, camps, all of that under the youth ministries umbrella. That is my main job. That's the main thing that the main ministry that I manage for the conferences that are make up the Mid-America Union. Then the next one would be children's ministries. And then the next one that I do, community service, disaster response, then also family ministries and health ministries are the last three. But my role also is to kind of quasi be available to help conferences with other ministries that administration may say, hey, Roger, why don't you help with this or help give guidance there, collaborate with that. So I'm quite open to helping in whatever ministry. So it's kind of like a church pastor kind of thing. Mm. I manage all the ministries, but I do focus on the six that I share.
Awesome. And for those who are aware of our conference distribution, could you let us know what conferences are in the Mid-America Union?
Sure. It would be my great pleasure. We have six wonderful, dynamic, energized conferences there. In the Midwest. We're actually in the middle of the country there in the Mid-America Union. Our headquarters is in Lincoln, Nebraska. And so that gives away one of the states. One of our conferences is the Kansas-Nebraska Conference. Then we also have the Iowa-Missouri Conference. We also have the Minnesota Conference. Along with them, we do the Dakota Conference, which is made up of the North and South Dakota. And then the Rocky Mountain Conference, which is Colorado and Wyoming, and a small county in New Mexico. So those are what make up our conferences. But we also have the regional conference, which is Central States, which their territory is the union. They manage the regional work or the African, I wouldn't even say African American. It would be the regional work in the Mid-America Union. So it's hard to pinpoint them to a particular group of people. They are open to anyone that they would like, who would like to join that conference. So those are the six conferences: Central States, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Dakotas, and the Rocky Mountain Conference.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. So as you were saying, as the ministries director in Mid-American Union, your main, the one that you're most working with, the one that keeps you busy, I would say the most, according to you, is youth ministry. Mm-hmm. What is your vision in the Mid-American Union for youth ministries? Or is it just you are there as a facilitator, a help to the youth directors at the conference level?
Well, to be honest with you, Eric, I've only been there 7 months. Mm-hmm. So I am still in what I like to call my find it out stage. Okay. I have met with the leaders. We had a major event. I don't know if you heard about it. It's this little something called Oshkosh, the Chosen Campery. We had a little something like that. I came in April, and by August, I had to coordinate with the six conferences and with the Campery administration to represent the Mid-America Union there, which was a major task. But we have some good leaders, so it was easy. But I can't say at this very moment I have a vision yet, because I haven't really fully finished my year of finding out, of seeing, of meeting, of greeting. Within this 6 months, 7 months, we lost one leader who has gone on to another, received a call. So we are down one leader. We lost two leaders in two of our conferences. So we got one conference has gotten a new leader. The other conference is still looking for a leader. And so with that in mind, it has been, the leadership has not settled as yet. So with all of that, it's hard to really lay down a vision. We met on just a couple of weeks ago as a team, and we looked at some things. And I'm praying maybe by next year we will be able to, God will articulate a vision for the Mid-America Union youth ministries so that we can kind of rally under that banner and move forward. So we're still in the process. I'm still getting to know the folks, still getting to know the young people, still getting to know the ministries, the way they do ministry there, just so that we can all be on the same foot. You know this in terms of drilling and marching. We've got to be on the same foot. So I am here coming in to make sure that we're on the same foot and then we move forward together.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. It's. I think it's something very wise to understand, to have knowledge of the people first, really know who you're serving, and then come up with a vision rather than start with a vision then realize that maybe this vision won't work because I'm doing something that this community doesn't need. Right. So that I think that's very wise. And it's also patience, because I think what I'm hearing from you is patience. It's not I have to come in and then set Mid-America Union on a fire with my new vision. It's let me see what's happening. Let me understand the vision. Let me understand the people. Right. Let me understand who I'm serving. And then the vision will come.
Yeah, I read a book, if I may. I read a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Oh, man. And I did that while I was pastoring. And that had opened up my understanding that God's already working in Mid-America Union. My going there is not, I'm not coming in with any God-given mandate to say, hey, this is the way you do it. I'm going in there and I'm going to be looking for where God is working, and I'm going to go and walk alongside that, because wherever God is working is a winner. So I'm just going to go in there and do the wins that God is already doing. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about joining the team of youth leaders there, particularly that are already doing positive things, making a change in the lives of their young people.
Wow. I love that, because what I got from that statement, Pastor, is that you're not imposing a vision. What you're doing is you're recognizing what God's already doing. So right. Basically, you're highlighting what God's vision already is. That's what you're right. saying. And that's awesome. That's so cool to hear. Let me ask some
more difficult questions because this okay. is a youth ministry podcast, and this is a question that a lot of youth directors get a little sweaty when I ask this, but I feel like it's something I really need to ask. So
let me go get my towel so I can yes. wipe the sweat.
Yes, wipe the sweat. But basically, my question has been, from what you've seen Mid-America Union, what you've seen in Northeastern, and the other conferences you have been a part of, how are we as a church with engaging with Generation Z?
We're doing much better than we used to do. We never talked about generations and we never talked about the characteristics of generations and how we can minister to those characteristics. I came up in a time when youth was 16 to 35, period. There was no breakdown, there was no adolescence, there was no junior high, there was no teen ministry. It was 16 to 35. And the comment was, sit down until 35 before you can even think about leading in this church. Wow. But time has changed. We now are into identifying generations. We find some trends in those generations. It seems to be so true. I even saw this even in my ministry, in terms of how I communicate with the generations. I wasn't a big social media person. I felt, wow, that's more work to do. Although I was very techie, I wasn't feeling that I needed to get on social media. But when I realized that that's where my young people were, as I pastored, I had to be in the arena, not necessarily to be so very engaging, but at least know what I'm dealing with. And so I started with the MySpace. I didn't really get into that, but I did read up on it, what it was doing, what was happening. There was this big issue about safety. And so I was able to talk to my church about it and share with my parents about it. Then it went on to Facebook and Twitter and IG and now which is Instagram, and now you have they moved off of those scenarios. They're on TikTok, and there's a big joke out in leadership circles that older leaders, when they talk about TikTok, they're only thinking about a clock. But the church has done much better in identifying the generations and how we minister to them. So our vintage ministries, such as Pathfinders, Adventurers, even our Sabbath schools, are working in trying to understand the different generations and are looking at how do we minister to this generation. I mean, when I was coming up, the rotary phone was the norm when I was younger. Let me say that, when I was younger. And then to have the push button phone was like, whoa, you big time. Now is the cell phone, and is even what we're doing here, doing video calling, as opposed to just talking to someone on the phone. So things have changed, and so ministry has to change. They always say this: the message doesn't need to change, but the method needs to change. And so the church is doing much better in connecting to the method. And for old guys like me who've come up in a certain way, sometimes it's hard for us to see the positiveness or the good out of the difference in the method. And so we sometimes are slow to implementing it and getting it done. So we kind of sometimes come behind. And but our young people are so gracious. They realize, hey, at least they try. And when they see that, they respond, and God uses our willingness to make a difference in their lives. So yeah, we may not have been on top of it, but we're getting better at it and getting better at it and getting better at it.
Awesome. I love that answer. It's really recognizing how we are. I think you highlight how the method has to change, and usually we get a little bit behind in noticing the change, and we're playing a little bit of catch up sometimes, which is, I think, the case. But that was a really good, elaborate answer. I loved it. Thank you so much for that, Pastor. So with that being said, how do you think you could teach that on the church level, or to if you were at a training at a conference level, how do you express that to church leaders, Sabbath school teachers, especially if they're in the older ages? How do you express that answer? How do you let them know that we need to follow, we need to catch up with the method and use social media, even though we may be uncomfortable? How do we tell that to them to implement that, basically?
Well, we do it. We just got to do it. You know, we just gonna be like Nike and do it. We can't keep talking about it. Just what we're doing now. You're doing a podcast that is impacting folks around the world, not just in your neighborhood, not even on your street. Probably nobody on your street looks at your podcast, but there are tons of people that looks at the podcast from around the world and are getting something from it. I just came back from a convention that one of the sessions was a podcast. They literally got you in a room and you sat there and you listened to people talk about, one of the podcasts talked about pop culture and what it meant. It picked three things. And I sat there and I was like, okay. And I was excited to be a part of something different. It wasn't a talking head up front. It was a group of folks sitting down with a mic, recording it so that it can be used later on. So those are some of the things we need to do. Just last night, I dropped a new video promoting our Children's Ministries convention. And that was something that, you know, I mean, I got in front of the camera and shared the invitation to all those who wanted to be there. And our media people put it together and threw it up there. I mean, there were some things, my voice, my accent got in the way of some words, but I laughed at it. Those who saw it said, hey, that's great. It was bright. It was exciting. So it was different than what has been done in the past. In the past, we've done flyers. We have done posters. I remember when I was coming up, we couldn't wait to get the poster so we could put it up on the bulletin board. Well, those days are gone, you know. So now you're looking at how do I get into their space, on their IG, on their Facebook, in their conversation. And so you have to look at different ways to do that. And so the only way to do that is to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, get a young person. They are so willing to help you. Make the difference to enter into that new space. But you just got to do it. You just got to be willing to take the time and talk in their world.
Awesome. I love it. It's basically just something that I've always been a advocate for is when it comes to social media, just do it. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about having the best quality, just get it out there. And then as you're learning, you'll improve and increase your quality because you're learning. But while you're learning, you're already impacting and reaching people that you need to reach.
So, you're reaching people you would have never got to walk through your doors as a pastor. You're reaching people who would have not come to the campery that you run in because they're not part of the organization. But you never know how the seed, the plant, you know, you pushing your video out or you push a word out, a little statement of someone, you know, someone you heard preach something, you put a little statement out as a status. It makes a difference in the lives. Just get up and do it.
Wow. And might I add that you may be, I don't want to say old, I'll say seasoned.
No, you can say old. I see it every morning.
you're an older leader, but you know your stuff because you mentioned TikTok and and when you talk about Instagram, you don't even say the Instagram or Instagram, you say IG. And that's how we call it, especially the younger people. So you know your stuff and you're really connecting with them. One thing I do want to ask is, you mentioned that convention that you were just at not too long ago.
And you saw it on social media, right?
Of course, I saw it on social media too. Can you let us know what that convention was?
Sure. I had the privilege of partnering with a few other youth leaders, and we went to what was called Youth Specialties, the National Youth Workers Convention. It is sponsored by Youth Specialties, which is a group of non-denominational organization that is geared towards providing training and learning for youth workers, youth pastors, volunteered and paid to learn about how to minister to the generation in which they preach to or teach to every week. So it's a yearly event. This year it was held in Tampa, and their theme was Together. And I have to be honest, it was a wonderful experience to gather with almost 3,000 youth enthusiasts. I mean, these folks just love young people. And they were from age 80 to 8. No, well, not 8, but 80 to 18. I met a mother who came to the event because her daughter, who just started in community college, she just turned 18, or she's about to turn 18. She couldn't come by herself. And so the church asked, are there any volunteers that's willing to come? No one was stepping up. So mom said, I'll go so that my daughter can go. And while she was there, she was in seminars gathering information so that they can collectively present back to their local church. I thought that was awesome. I connected with her, and we just had a great time fellowshipping in the presentation that we were in together. But it's a unique opportunity to connect with folks who love young people, who are going through some of the same struggles. Even as a denomination, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have youth pastors who are meeting with young people who are not churchy. They may not be members, they may be friends of church members, and they're coming in. And so we need to get as much information to share and learn and be a part. And so that was what I went there to see and learn. How to minister to this generation.
Wow. I think it's really interesting, and something that I think youth leaders need to learn about. So that's why I wanted to highlight that, is that going to these conventions is really, really great. Just as well as, you know, Oshkosh is such a great event, and it revitalizes, re-energizes a lot of leaders and youth and young adults. Going to conventions or leadership trainings or the children ministry convention that Mid-America Union is going to have in February.
Right.
Going to these events is really good, very impactful. It helps your ministry because you're learning from great leaders and you're seeing other leaders who are in the same boat as you.
Correct.
So let
me put the disclaimer out there, because yes, I don't want it to seem as if I am totally just saying, hey, these are the things we need to go to. As a denomination, we tend to be very careful on mixing, making sure that we don't mix truth with error. I'm not saying they teach error, but I'm saying sometimes we interpret certain ways other people worship, certain ways other people do things. We interpret that to be bad. But God has given us a spirit of discernment. And so there are some things you will learn, and there are some things you say, well, no, we're not going down that road. But sometimes you go to these events and you learn about, oh, that's what they mean. That's where they're coming from. Why? Now I understand why this is, why my young people are saying this. This is what they're hearing in their schools. This is what they're hearing on their neighborhood blocks. This is what they're hearing when they go there. So it is an opportunity to be able to discern a culture. Some people feel that we don't need to know about culture because Jesus is coming. Yeah, but we are living in culture. Yeah. And it is kind of connecting with what we do, how we what we watch TV. I mean, look at the stuff look at the garbage that's on TV at times. And I'm guilty. I don't know how many people out there are guilty of this, but I'm guilty. Sometimes I sit and watch it. But it's not necessarily because I enjoy it, but it helps me to understand the culture in which we live. And then there are some things I said, no, I don't need to watch that. And I turn it off because I recognize where it's leading and what it's getting to. So I give God praise for the discernment And you learn that as you exercise your faith.
Wow. Awesome. A person who really was aware of their culture when speaking to the people was Jesus. So
that's right.
That's a great point. Let me just ask this last question for you, Pastor. How, since it's a ministry, but also mentorship podcast, how can we mentor our young people in the church level better?
That means we have to be better mentors, you know, understand what we're getting into. So again, I go back to the understanding the culture in which the young people are coming up in. There are so many young people are, how can I put it? I'm trying not to give away any stories, any illustrations. What I want to say is that to be a good mentor, you have to meet them where they are, and you also got to know where you want to take them, where you want to go, where is it you want to end up. And sometimes we want to end up in places that we're not equipped for. And in terms of, you know, we want to save them. Well, that's not our mandate. Our mandate is not to save them. We can help them, mentor them in terms of being there to answer questions, being there to be real. We don't always have to ask the answers, but hey, I don't understand what you mean by that. Let me get back to you. There was a particular young person I was mentoring. Well, I guess I'm still mentoring them. And they asked me a question on jewelry. And, you know, I mean, you know the stance our church has, you know, no jewelry. Well, I didn't want to go from that perspective because they're in college, so they're studying. They know how to discern things. And so I said, well, why you want to do it? So once you get down to the basics and you're able to mentor them through something, they'll make a decision. And the bottom line is helping them to make that decision. They may not make the decision you want, but that doesn't mean you stop loving them. You stop mentoring them. Sometimes the small decisions lead to the bigger decisions. And your life is important. So as you mentor young people, remember that it's not your role to save them. God has placed you in your life to be like a bumper. You know, you bumper cars when you're driving, you don't go off the edge because you're a bumper. Just let them bump against you a little bit and they go off and they continue on. Just be there for that, being that bumper, answering the question, just hearing them. Sometimes they have the answer. And they just need somebody to sound it off with. And so that's, in terms of mentorship, is the ability of having time to be there, the ability to hear in them, the ability to not judge them, and the ability to speak truth to power. Sometimes you have to just tell them like it is, but just tell them, hey, you know me, I've always been real with you. I've never sugarcoated. You will always get the truth from me. This is how I feel. And they will appreciate that more than you pretending that you're all that and a bag of chips with some vegetarian dip on the side. But it's mentorship is just basically coming alongside and listening and hearing and having a shoulder that they can cry on and giving them a hug when necessary and laughing with them at their, you know, at their jokes and what they say and what they do and genuinely just being there for them. That's the kind of mentorship many of our young people want. And even some of our older young people, you know, our young at heart, you know, they just want to be able to bounce an idea off of, or am I going in the right direction? Did I make the right choice? And a seasoned person can help them with that. And mainly it's time and willingness to be that sounding board.
Awesome. Pastor Roger, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for your ministry. We'll continue to pray for it. And we are excited for the great things that are happening in the Mid-America Union, especially in youth ministries. But as I usually do on this podcast, I give it to the guests to give some words of encouragement for maybe there's a youth leader in Nebraska or in the Rocky Mountain Conference that is hearing the call to ministry to do amazing things, but is a little hesitant. What words of encouragement would you give them?
Wow. I would say learn to trust God. He's not going to take you down a road that he can't take you all the way through. they preach it this way. He wouldn't take you to it if he couldn't take you through it. That is something that as we prepare right now for Thanksgiving, this is a Thanksgiving season. I may have dated your podcast, but I'm in the preparation of the Thanksgiving season now. And as I'm thanking God for what he has done, I also learned to trust God for what he's doing. And so when you are thinking about being a part of ministry, getting involved in ministry, maybe you're in ministry and it's been rough. It's not easy. You know, I tell people all the time, youth ministries is 366 days a year and 25 hours a day. And it's 8 days a week. It never ends. Youth ministry doesn't end. You can't turn it off and go home and rest. It's constantly always happening. The phone calls, the texting, ever now, the social media. You're always ministering to the young people. And when that is happening, you want to trust God that he gives you the wisdom, he gives you the resources, he gets you to where you need to be. He promises that he will not leave you nor forsake you. He promises that he'll provide for you, even when you can't see how he's going to provide for you. I preach a sermon called Already Done. When you look at the first five verses of Exodus, as I was reading through a number of texts, I realized that he already told them in the beginning of Exodus that he would already take them out of slavery. And so we can begin to realize even before we start that God has already done it. He's already taken care of that. He's already provided. And I want to just say this right here. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to you also. So I give God praise for what he's doing. I give God praise for what he's about to do. I give God praise of what he's doing in your life, what he's about to do in your life. And for the young people that you're going to make an impact to, I know, trust me, I'm telling you, I know that they're going to be better off. They'll be in the kingdom.